How's everybody doing today? We get to worship God, we get to fellowship with one another, and we get to hear the Word of God preached today. Not to mention that we get to pray to our God, and that's what it's all about. So I want to welcome you once again. I want to thank you for being here. Today marks the end of our Blockbuster Summer series. Everybody say, aww. I know. But maybe we'll try it again next year if you guys like the series. Did you enjoy the series? Yeah. Okay, maybe we'll try it again next year, next summer. I also want to take this time to welcome our Facebook friends. Everybody say hello, Facebook. As always, I want to give you an opportunity to enjoy the easiest way to share your faith. You have your phones out already? Let's take out our phones. You're going to use them to look up the scriptures anyway, right? Let's go to the Path Church on Facebook. And the easiest way to share your faith is by hitting that share button on this live video stream, okay? Y'all gonna do that for me today? We've been doing a great job. We're reaching thousands of people and get hundreds and hundreds of views. As I said, this is the end of our Blockbuster Summer series. And summer is coming to a close, you know. Our children are going back to school. Parents, can anybody say amen? Oh, y'all must not be excited as I was. A dear friend of ours, Mr. Adrian, is going back to Cali tomorrow. So we will miss you. We want to say thank you for being here. Let's everybody know how much we love Adrian, how much we love his time he gets to spend here. We love you, man. Can't wait till the next time. You know, you have a home here and a family here in Atlanta. Also, our sister Laurel, she will be moving back to Africa at the end of the month. So let's make sure we get time to encourage her, to spend time with her, love up on her. She has been such a joy as a part of our ministry, being at Singles Ministry. Everybody loves Laurel and her great attitude that she brings to the church. We will be moving forward to another series next week. And that is called Moving Mountains. But it's learning how to pray with passion, confidence, and authority. And it's based on a book by John Eldridge called Moving Mountains. And so I want to thank Mella for this awesome graphic, who did a great job with our graphic design. Thank you, Mella. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get started with my favorite Disney movie of all time, even more than Lion King. Moana. I love this movie for many reasons, and I'll share that in just a few. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for who you are, God. We thank you for the love that you show us, the grace, the mercy, the patience that you show us, God. We're honored and humbled to be here to pray to you, to worship you, God, to hear your word being preached, to have great fellowship with one another. Lord, we're thankful for your church, God. And we pray that you will speak to us today, God, that you will reveal your truth in our hearts and minds in a way that personally we need it today, Father God. I pray, Lord God, that you'll be with me as I preach your word. God, and thank you for movies that show us your character, that show us things about ourselves, that even help us in our relationship with you, Lord God. We know that you are in all and through all and made all. And so we are grateful, God, for the way you show yourself in our lives, God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and start with this.
Everything shared it with the world. But in time, some began to seek Tefiti's heart. They believed if they could possess it, the great power of creation would be theirs. And one day, most daring of them all voyaged across the vast ocean to take it. He was a demigod of the wind and sea. He was a warrior, a trickster, a shapeshifter who could change form with the power of his magical fish hook. And his name was Maui. But without her heart, Tefiti began to crumble, giving birth to a terrible darkness. Maui tried to escape, but was confronted by another who sought the heart. Teka, a demon of earth and fire. Maui was struck from the sky, never to be seen again. And his magical fishhook and the heart of Tefiti were lost to the sea, where even now, 1,000 years later, Teka and the demons of the deep still hunt for the heart, hiding in a darkness that will continue to spread. Chasing away our fish, draining the life from island after island, until every one of us is devoured by the bloodthirsty jaws of inescapable death. One day, the heart will be found by someone who will journey beyond our reef, find Maui, deliver him across the great ocean to restore Tefiti's heart and save us all.
So there you have it. That is the plot of Moana. You have this little girl that from childhood has been hearing stories of what has happened in her world, right? And while other kids are scared, while other kids are crying and falling out, she is all in because she knows that somebody has to save the world. And for some reason, she feels called to do this. She's like, man, I feel called to the ocean. I feel called for something greater. And she carries this burden, right, around with her that she feels really needs to be addressed. She sees this need, this real need to save her people, to save the world. But it wasn't easy. Everybody around her wanted her to settle. And even her, at some times in her life, she wanted to settle. Her parents were against it. Her dad had gone beyond the reef before, but had experienced tragedy himself. And so the only person really that believed in her was her grandmother, Grandma Tala. Praise God for grandmothers. Amen? And, you know, she was a free spirit. And you see, she was preaching the word since they were young. And she was training them so they can have a vision, a dream for their lives. But what happened was, no matter how much she tried to settle and the people tried to settle, the darkness invaded their own island and started bringing death to their fish, to their coconuts, to their land. And so no longer could they ignore it. One day, Grandma Tala pulls Moana to the side and starts having a little tea time with her, a little discipling time. And she asked her this question: who are you meant to be? Who are you meant to be? It's this question that she's wrestling with. It's a question that as people we wrestle with. What is my purpose? Why am I here? Right? And she's wrestling with that same question. Who are you meant to be? And so she goes and she finds out that she's part of a lineage of voyagers, that her ancestors traveled the sea and found new islands. And she realizes that what she has inside of her is not just some crazy dream, but it's something that has been with her throughout her whole life and throughout the lives of her ancestors. And so in a way, she's built for this moment. She's built for such a time as this. And at that time, her grandmother's getting older, and her grandmother passes away. And before she passes away, she says, Moana, you got to go for it. You got to go for it. And don't worry, I will be with you. And so she sets out on this voyage, on this journey beyond the reef, and she makes it past the reef, and she gets out there, but she has no inkling as to what to do. Right? She's never been trained to be a voyager. She's never been on a ship like that. And so she's trying to figure it out. And she's got her little friends, the little pig and little Hey Hey, the rooster, little crazy rooster. His name's Hey Hey. And so she got her little crew, and they're going out in the ocean, and she's trying to figure out where to go because she's supposed to go find Maui so he can restore the heart of Tafiti and save the world. She's trying to find the hook in the sky and where that leads, and she's having a hard time. And I love this part because she gets thrown off the boat, and she says, "Ocean, a little help, please," because the ocean has been helping her, right? "Ocean, a little help, please." And the ocean all of a sudden starts to get really rowdy. And a storm starts to formulate in the clouds and in the sky. And all of a sudden she is wrapped up in the storm. And before she knows it, she is washed up on this deserted island. And she is mad. She got sand all up in her hair. She is like, "I thought you were supposed to help me out, ocean. Then you sent the storm, and now I'm here on this island. My boat is messed up. I'm trying to find Maui." And all of a sudden, she looks back, and guess who's on the island? Maui. And that very scene is a lesson. Because sometimes we ask God for help, and he sends the storms. And we say, "Well, why are you sending this storm? I want you to help me." And really what we want is an easy ride, smooth sailing through life to know all the problems and all the answers to all the problems, right? And really God is saying, "No, I want to grow you up." And sometimes there's going to be hard times that will lead to better times, but this is how I'm going to work in your life because I'm the boss and I know what's best for you. So that actually goes along with scripture. One of my favorite scriptures, it needs to be one of yours as well, and that's Romans 8:28. Everybody needs to memorize this scripture, know this scripture, because we go through so much in life and so many things that feel bad, that in our perspective seem bad for us, and yet God in his infinite power can make them work for our good. And that's what the scripture says, that, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him." In most things, in 50%, in 90%, in things that feel good, all things. And this is going to carry you through the storms of life. And this is the hope that we as Christians have that those in the world do not have. Because if you don't believe in God, if you're not following Jesus, you say, "Oh, there's no heaven, there's no hell, there's no hope for an afterlife," then you know what? The best is not yet to come. All there is now. But we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And the ultimate good is what? To become more like Jesus. Because he is good. And so she learns this lesson, and she's arguing with Maui, and this is one of my favorite songs. I'm not going to play it today for the sake of time. I know. I wanted to play every song. But Maui rapping, you know, it's just awesome. And finally, you know, she convinces Maui to go with her. And along the voyage, they get to know each other. And what I love about this movie, above all other princess movies, one, she's brown. Amen. She's brown. I love me a brown. I love all princesses, but I'm happy to see a brown princess that is not all about the outward appearance, but more about her character and heart. And my daughter can look at that and see a princess that has her type of hair. And she can see that Moana puts it up in a bun and everything. They talk about the princess with a bun. And she gets to work. Right? And there's no romantic interest. And I'm like, thank you, God. There can be true friendship and true partnership without everything having to be romantic. I could go on and on, but I will stick to my sermon today. So they go out on the sea. They learn. Maui teaches her how to be a voyager. And they get out there, and finally they come face to face with the lava monster, Taka. And she is a ball of raging fury, flames and fire, and she is angry, right? And so they go after her, but guess what? They fail. they fail. I mean, they give it all. They've traveled hundreds and thousands of miles. They're fighting coconut warriors, right? And they're fighting these crazy crab, right? And finally they make it and they give it all they have, but it wasn't enough. They failed. They got hurt in the process. Even Maui and her relationship got hurt in the process because Maui had his plan and then Moana had her plan and she was a strong brown woman, and she said, this is what we're going to do, Maui. And it wasn't working, and so Maui sacrificed himself and his hook to save her, right? And so he was hot when it didn't work out, and she was sad that it didn't work out. And Maui said, you know what? You try to do this your way, I'm gone. You can do this on your own. It's like, no, you got to restore the hearts of Fiti. And he's like, no, I don't. Like, well, it's your fault, Maui. No, it's your fault because you think the ocean called you to be someone special, the chosen one. Well, guess what? The ocean chose wrong. And so this is where we find this video that really hit me so hard when I watched it because I've been there so many times.
Why did you bring me here? I'm not the right person. You have to choose someone else. Choose someone else. Please. Grandma, I couldn't do it.
It's not your fault. I never should have put so much on your shoulders. If you are ready to go home, I will be with you. Why do you hesitate?
I don't know.
I know a girl from an island. She stands apart from the crowd. She loves the sea and her people. She makes her whole family proud. Sometimes the world seems against you. The journey may leave a scar. But scars can heal and reveal just where you are. The people you love will change you. The things you have learned will guide you. And nothing on earth can silence the quiet voice still inside you. And when that voice starts to whisper, Moana, you've come so far. Moana, listen. Do you know who you are?
Who am I?
I am the girl who loves my island.
I am everything I've learned and more. Still it calls me. And the call isn't out there at all. It's inside.
Come what may, I know the way.
musical do you cry to? You know, I watched this movie around the holiday break, 2016 holiday break, Christmas time and New Year's. And I was just going through a really tough time in my life, my relationship with God. And, you know, there was a part of me that was just being called to the wrong things. It blows my mind that as a Christian for 14 years, and then you add on titles to that as lead pastor or evangelist or all these other things, and yet I look up and I'm still struggling with some of the same things that I struggled with 14 years ago. And for me, I my struggle is worldliness. Like I was drinking, I was getting high, I was messing with women, I was doing all kinds of stuff in the world, and those are the things that still call to me, the evil things that I'm still tempted by, right? And you know, I don't know if anybody can relate, but with the pressures of this life and of this world, there's times where I just want to escape. There's times where I don't want to be me. Like, I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to have to think about other people. I don't even want to be a Christian sometimes. I wish I could have it both ways. I wish I could have the best of what the world has to offer and the best of what Christianity has to offer. And that is the lie that Satan continues to tell me. Like, you can have your cake and you can eat it too. Like, you can, and God says no over and over again. He says no, you have to choose one or the other. It just does not work, right? And so I was really battling through this time. And when I went home and I'm with my family, this is an opportunity for me to just be Angel, to just be the guy that I could just let my guard down, or at least I feel that way. I know they love me for who I am. I don't have to be on my P's and Q's. It's vacation time, right? And so, you know, I was just struggling because I wanted the best way to put it, Psalm 73, where it talks about how we envy the world and we look at people in the world, it's like they have no worries. Look at this, they have everything. Look, they're having fun. It's amazing. This Christianity stuff, this burden, these responsibilities, this self-denial, it's just too hard. I just want to break. I don't want to leave God. I just want to break. I want a vacation from God, from this. It's just hard sometimes. And I was going through this really challenging time wrestling with God and doing some things that I really felt horrible about, falling into some sin that I really felt like, oh, man, this is not who I want to be. And I felt discouraged. And, you know, Satan really uses his tool of discouragement to take us out. And, you know, I see so many Christians not leave because they're bad people or anything else. Really, I see a lot of Christians leave God because they're just so discouraged about their sin, about their struggles, about their temptation, right? And Satan was using that tool against me. And so I go to the movies. It's me sitting on the row. Me, next to me, my daughter Layla. Next to her, my mother. Next to her, my nephew Paxton. And next to him, my brother, his dad, Javier. And we go through this movie, and I'm literally crying through the whole movie. Because, you know, even this song that Grandma Tala sings, even to this day, I feel like God is singing to me. And he used this movie and he used this scene to really speak life back into me. Who are you and who do you want to be? And I can't tell you how many times in my life I have asked God that question and told him, surely you chose the wrong person. I don't know what you believe in me. All I see is my sin all day long. All I see is my insecurities. All I see is my weaknesses. All I see are these temptations. Surely you chose the wrong person, God. You want me to do what? Lead a church? You want me to serve where? You want me to be a faithful man of God to my wife? You want me to be a great dad to my daughters? You want me to give up my... You chose the wrong guy. It's just the wrong person. Choose somebody else. And I've told God, you got to choose someone else. And I try to give it back. Give back the calling. Just, you can have it. But I can't shake it. For some reason, I can't settle, right? And maybe that's a spirit. And I can't give up. For some reason, I have this burden on my heart for the to love my family, right? And this burden on my heart for the lost souls here in Atlanta, right? And I have this burden in my heart to save as many people as possible, and I can't shake it. I have this burden on my heart to raise up leaders, men and women, who will have the same heart and who will do the same. And I have this burden in my heart that where we can do it here through this church, that God wants to use us. And I can't shake it. I can't shake the fact that he put me here and put us here for such a time as this. I can't shake the fact that he allowed me to go through the things in my life, through the storms in my life, to prepare me, right? To be able to live out my purpose. I can't shake the fact that he gives me this compassion for people that are going through challenging things, right? I can't shake it. And because of that, I fight. Because of that, I continue to fight to be righteous. I fight to save as many people as possible. I fight to be a great leader in the home and a servant in the home. I fight to love people and pour into people. I fight just to put one foot in front of the other. Sometimes that's all I can do. Sometimes I don't know where this journey, this path will take me. I don't know what's at the top of the mountain. All I know is that I got to put one foot in front of the other. And little by little, you keep putting those feet in front of the other, and you look back and you're like, wow, I've come a long way. But we have to fight. You know, what about you? Have you ever been at your wit's end? Maybe you're there today. Maybe there's a desperation about you. Maybe you can relate to the scene. Maybe you feel like this responsibility is too much. Maybe you feel like you have failed. Maybe you feel like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. Maybe you've sinned in a way you never thought you would. Maybe you see no way back to God. And that's when we got to spend time with God. And that's when we got to spend time with people who will show us God and take us back to God and show us God's grace and his patience and point us back to him and then remind us of who we really are and who we want to be. I am so grateful for my wife who through this time we had breakfast and she reminded me of how much she believed God can keep working in me and through me. And she reminded me of who I was and what I wanted. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten with my close friends and they say, Angel, that's not really you. I know you're weak right now. I know you're feeling all this stuff, but I know that's not really you. And you know, it's important to point out that anybody who struggles with addiction, you know, you're told this. You're told in the moments of temptation, at your low moments, remind yourself of who you are, the good things about you. And so say good things about yourself. So say that you are a loving person, that you are a man of character, that you are a man who can be used by God, that you are a woman who is pure, who is righteous. And sometimes we have to speak that life into ourselves because that's how God sees us. Satan wants us to believe that we're not. Satan wants us to believe that we weren't made in the image of God, that we can't walk this walk or fight this fight, but God says, no, I got you. And I sacrificed my son Jesus so you will always know that I will be with you to the end, and I'm giving you my spirit so you will know that you can finish this race. Sometimes we got to be reminded of who we are and who we want to be. You know, I think of Jesus and the agony that he endured on his way to the cross. Even when Jesus was asked God to take it back. You know, God had that moment. Jesus himself, God in the flesh, had that moment. It was like, you chose the wrong person. Take this cup away from me. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 41, he says this. Luke 22 verse 41. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he knows he's about to be betrayed. He knows he's about to go up to be crucified on the cross. It says this. He says, he walked away about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthen him. Grandma Tala. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, "Take this back. If there's any other way to do this, please think of another way, God. Choose somebody else." And so he's there. His boys abandoned him, just like Maui left Moana. And you know, there's times in our lives where we get to fight for our lives, even when means that we have to fight by ourselves. There's times, there's just going to be times where it feels like we're alone. Now, God says, "You're not alone because I'm with you." And he says that over and over again in the scriptures, but then there's times it feels like we're alone and we have to make our own decision to decide, am I going to continue to fight? Am I going to submit to God's will? Am I going to go move forward with fulfilling the purpose that he has for my life? Even when it feels like you are by yourself, because sometimes your best friends, your parents, even your spouse will not be able to go at that time where God is trying to take you. There's things God is working in your heart, in your life, that other people just will not be able to relate to. And we all have to make the decision that we're going to move forward. Amen? You know, I chose this account in Luke 22 because it says specifically that this angel from heaven came and comforted Jesus. That in those times when we feel by ourselves, God is there with us. He made sure that Jesus was taken care of. I love that. You know, perceived failure is hard to take. It is hard to take. Even, you know, especially when you feel like you've given it all you had and it's still not enough. Especially when your motivation you feel like is pure. Especially when you've done all you were supposed to do. That's really hard to take. But notice I say perceived failure. Because the only time we really fail is when we give up, when we quit, when we turn our back on God forever. Outside of that, God is able to work for the good. I love this scripture in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 8. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 8 says, "The end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride." Hank, Moana thought it was over. Maui left her, she tried, and she got struck down. It did not work out. And sometimes we're at our place in our lives where we feel like it's over, and yet we're still here. As long as we're breathing, it means we still have a shot. We can still change. We can still put one foot in front of the other, but we got to decide, are we going to be patient with ourselves and God? Patience means long-suffering. Are we going to endure suffering, right, and understand that God is not through with us yet? And the situation is not over with. And most of the time, if we just stay in the fight, we will see victories in the horizon. Amen? We got to finish the race. You know, I'm so encouraged by our brother Louis. Louis shared in the group me, our South Mary's group me this past week. And he's been sharing a lot about how he's been learning and growing. For those of you who don't know Louis, Louis survived a heart attack not too long ago. And physically, he's recovered, and he's recovering, but I've also seen a change in him spiritually. And he's been growing so much, and in his commitment, and his intimacy with God, and it's just amazing. I encouraged him a few weeks ago about it, and then I see this in group, and he said, "You know, I've been wondering," he's been open with the whole group, "I've been wondering why I haven't been sharing about Jesus to other people." He said, "I realized that I'm too worried about myself and how I feel, and I'm afraid to get rejected, and I'm afraid of failure." And he said, "But I read John 12, where it talks about if a seed falls to the ground, it remains a single seed, but if it dies, it makes many seeds. It is fruitful." And he said, "You know what? I decided I got to die to myself." So I went to the supermarket to share Jesus. He left his house. He went to go share his faith on purpose. So he went to the supermarket, not to buy groceries, but to hope to purchase some souls for God. That's what he went to the grocery store. And guess what? He met somebody, connected with them, got their phone number, and is praying about them. And he said, "Pray about this person. I got his phone number. I want to follow up." Man, I love that. This is one of our seasoned saints, our mature Christians, who's been around as long or longer than anybody else here. And he said, "You know what? I still got room to grow. Yeah, I'm not going to settle for the hard times, the storms that come in my life. I'm going to continue to move forward. I love that. Louie got back to work. And Moana decided she's got to get back to work. And she had to finish the race. And she decided she has to be true to herself and her mission. And she realized that she would be more miserable if she gave up than if she tried and failed. You know, and so she said, you know what? Let's go for it. And even without Maui, because Maui had left. Now, the cool thing is that Maui just needed a little bit of time on his own. You know, sometimes we just need a little bit of time to catch our breath. We just need a little bit of time to get our emotions back in place, right? To recover so we can get back in the fight. And Maui showed back up. And Maui said, you know what? I'm going to sacrifice it all, even this hook that I love so much. And here we see this final fight scene with Takab. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Before that, in Ezekiel 34:16, it says, I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. That's what God says in Ezekiel 34:16. And in this scene, we see the heart of God. I have searched the horizon to find you. He says, I will search for the lost. I myself will search for you. He says, I have searched the horizon to find you. I know your name. God knows us individually, intricately, intimately. He says, they have stolen the heart from inside you, but this does not define you. This does not define you. And like Moana, Jesus stands in the middle of all of our chaos and says, this is not who you are. You know who you are. And more importantly, you know whose you are. God says, I created you. You're mine. You're my sons. You're my daughters. I sent my son Jesus to die for you so that you can be mine, so that I can have a relationship with you. We belong to God. We got to remember that. But we also can see the heart of Satan in this. Because he is the thief that comes to steal and kill and destroy. He comes to steal our hearts. And he'll settle for hardening our hearts. Now, the lava monster in this picture is really a picture of who we are when we allow the devil to steal our hearts. When we allow sin to harden our hearts. And we set out on a path of destruction that ultimately leads to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Revelations 21:8. That's where it leads. When we allow Satan to steal our hearts, that's it. There's nothing to look forward to except for hell. The second death, as it says in Revelations 21:8. And you know, when we look at the world around us, and the reality is that we see situations and people where Satan has just stolen their hearts. We look at the tragedy in Charlottesville, Virginia over the weekend. The white supremacists marching, right? The alt-right marching, right? And we see young white men who are chanting slurs of negativity, right? Hurtful things, right? Of violence. We see the violence. We see the people that passed away, the people that were hurt because somebody chose to run their car into this crowd. That's evil. That's a picture. We're not making this stuff up. Yeah, this movie, we're making it up. This is fantasy, but what we live in is a spiritual battle. And what they're going through is the fact they've allowed Satan to steal their hearts. And all we see is chaos. But guess what? That does not exempt any of us from where we are and our sin, right? And the chaos that we leave behind when we don't give our hearts to God first and foremost. But we see these things and we see these tragedies. And even in our own lives, I know we see tragedy. I know we see hurt. I know we see pain. But God has a plan. And that's that next scripture in Ezekiel 36:26, where it says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, put a new spirit in you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I remember having a heart of stone. My heart got so hard. I hardened it because I didn't want to feel shame anymore. I didn't want to feel guilt anymore. I didn't want to feel pain anymore, right? I at the same time, because I hardened my heart, I wasn't able to really experience love. Not true love. I settled for lust. I settled for superficial relationships where nobody ever truly knew me. I was selfish. I got so selfish, and I was suspicious of anybody who tried to be my friend because I just didn't trust people. I didn't trust that they had my best interests in mind, partly because I didn't have other people's best interests in mind. I was living for myself, and partly because I had been hurt by other people's sin. But when God appeared, he restored my heart. I could feel again. Man, I started to enjoy life again the way it was supposed to be without any of the so-called enhancements of weed and alcohol, right? I found happiness in God. I could enjoy true and real relationships. I could be my true self because I could be secure that God loved me enough. I could be secure in the fact that Jesus died for me at my lowest point, that he loves me. And so I could be secure in that. I could be at peace with my true self. Man, I was experiencing what Jesus talks about at the second part of John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come to give you life and life to the full. Man, I remember around the time I became a Christian, my heart was so soft. I went to my little brother's fifth grade graduation. They're singing Baby Beluga, and I'm crying. This is so amazing. I love my family. It's just this joy that you feel when Jesus puts that heart back into our chest, into our spirit, into our souls. And that transformation is that. That tough, rough exterior starts to break away, and all of a sudden you see who we were supposed to be, how God really sees us, full of life and love and energy and enthusiasm for life. And I am so grateful. You know, I shared that scripture, John 10:10, with one of the teenagers that I mentor this week. Earlier in the week, I ran into him at school, and I saw he had some bandages on, and I said, what's going on, man? What's up with you? Oh, Pastor Angel, I got shot. This kid got shot. A couple of weeks ago, his story was that he's in the car, and somebody was playing with a gun behind him, and the gun went off, and it hit him in his arm. He wants to take off his bandage. I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm talking about, you see the hole come in and it went in and out of his arm. And we started having a talk about, you know, God has a plan for your life. He says, I know, Pastor. This happened 2 weeks ago, but 2 days ago, I was in a car accident. And yet nobody was hurt. I'm still here. I've been thinking a lot. I've been praying a lot. I've been thanking God. I said, so then the next day I come back and I talk to him and see him some more and we start chatting about his life and he says, you know what, Pastor Angel, I appreciate these talks. I've never had talks like this. I've never had a father figure in my life. I've never had somebody to guide me, but I want one. I've always wanted one. Talk about rough exterior, a teenager with the roughest exterior. Right? And all of a sudden, man, it broke my heart. I was about to get him. I had that whole bag because I'm like, man, here's this young man who's already been hardened by life and sin and sin's deceitfulness. And nobody in his family, no man in his family has graduated high school. He's trying to be the first to graduate high school. I said, do you want to study the Bible? Would you like me to teach you about what it means to know God? I would love that. So the next day we came back. Me and Elijah got with him. We studied the Bible with him, and he loved it. And we talked about this same scripture. And you know what's crazy? In his situation, the thief comes to steal, kill. It wasn't metaphorically kill, the way we look at it sometimes. Like, no, Satan is out for my life. And it's true. Like, Satan is out for our lives, spiritually and physically. When you see all this violence that happens, people say, well, God, it's not God's will. Everything's God's will. No, that's not God's will. That's sin. Sin is not God's will. That is sin, right? And so we see these teenagers shooting each other, this gang violence. We see all this violence with racism and all this stuff that's happening. That's not God's will. Satan is coming after our children. The teenagers, our very own lives, to cut our lives short. I said, but Jesus gives life and life to the full. Man, he was so grateful. He was so grateful because now he has hope. Once we have a new heart, and we can have a new life. And that's when we can give life to others. You know, it's amazing. Everything that Tahiti touched turned green. Life flowed. Even and what happens at the end of the movie, life flowed all the way back to Moana's island, the island of Motunui. And she saved her family. She saved her people. All because she chose to persevere. All because she chose to live out God's calling for her life. To not settle for the status quo. And for us, you know, to not settle for the American dream. To not settle just to having money or be stable or have cars or have a family or have a house or have a job or have this and have an... And we can get so comfortable. Are we settling today? I fear that as sometimes that we are settling. That we don't see the spiritual battle, that we're not on the edge to make sure that our friends and our family make it to heaven. I fear that we've become okay with the fact that people around us are going to hell, or we believe the lie that they're all right. I fear that we're not on the edge, that we don't have the heart that Paul has, that I have become a slave to everybody to win as many as possible. Is that our heart? Or are we okay coming in here with a room half full of people? Many that we see day in and day out. Are we okay with this? Are we okay with the church as it is? How many souls do we want to see saved? It should be as many as possible. And our lives imitate that. Our lives, because that's why Jesus died. And let's take, as we close out, as we take communion, let's look at Jesus. I'm not trying to just pump you up or convince you just for the sake of it. You say you want to follow Jesus. Just look at the life of Jesus. Amen. He loved till his death. He loved till his death. And he overcame the obstacles and the challenges in his life to be who God had called him to be. What sacrifices are you going to be willing to make this week to be who God has called you to be? No matter how young or old you are, no matter where you are in life, no matter what situations, no matter what chaos is around you, what sacrifices are you willing to make to be who God has called you to be? Let's be like Jesus and sacrifice it all, because that's when we'll reach life and life to the full. Amen? Let's pray for our communion. Dear God, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you for his love for us and the sacrifice that he made, the example that he set for us. We are so grateful and humble, Lord God, that we get to even have the opportunity to have a relationship with you and live life to the full, God. God, I pray that you will soften our hearts, God. I pray for all the hearts of stone that are out here today, Lord God. I know you brought them in here today for a reason. And I pray at this time, if any part of our heart has gotten hard, God, that you will soften it right now, God. That you will perform heart surgery on us, spiritual heart surgery, so that we can connect with you, so that we can connect with your purpose and your plan for our lives, so we can connect with the mission that you have for our lives. Open our eyes, God, so that we may see the spiritual battle around us. Give us the faith to know that you are with us, and as long as that you're with us, there's nothing that is impossible for us, God. And we know that it's in your will to help as many people as possible to know you, God. Remind us of our mission. Remind us of our purpose, God. God, and help us to fall more in love with you every single day so that love can be our motivation. We take this cracker, we take this juice, Father God. We pray that we can commune with you in a special way, that this week will be different for us, God. We'll get back on track for those of us who need to, and for those of us who are doing well, God, that we can take it to the next level in our relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.